This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Postseason baseball is here, and it is the absolute best time of the year. I'm Rob Bradford of Baseballs and Boring, and we're going to have you covered every step of the way with instant reactions from players and coaches and managers and fans and reporters and everybody else who is immersed in this awesomeness and all the craziness that comes with October baseball. So follow Baseballs and Boring in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Phil Sim Spotlight is brought to you by Balance of Nature Whole Food Supplements. Oh my gosh. Visit balanceofnature.com. So the two best friends are going to be in a booth together on October 20th when we were supposed to be eating Phil Sim's meat and drinking Phil Sim's alcohol at Phil Sim's house. And we're not doing that anymore. It's going to be Jerry, Boomer, and Phil in a booth together calling Giants Eagles, which is very exciting news. Phil, good morning. How are you?
Gio, I'm doing okay. My phone systems are down, so I'm on my cell phone, so I hope it works out. And listening to you, I just thought I heard a hint of sarcasm when you said, oh, my favorite spot coming up. Yeah. Okay. I'm really excited to talk to you too.
No, it actually is. I really do enjoy. There was no sarcasm there. I get excited for this every week, and every week there seems to be something new and fun to talk about. And this week it's the two of you guys being reunited in a Compass Media Networks booth on the same day that we were supposed to be enjoying watching football at your home. So I'm a little bit disappointed, quite frankly, that we're not going to be at your house and you guys are going to be calling the game. But whatever, I'll get over it.
Well, you know, a couple things. I'm disappointed, too. I could have made it work and was going to, but this came up, and then Boomer stuck his big, fat face. Now he's going to be in the booth with me. I was going to enjoy the game, maybe with Jerry and the Boomer. You know, okay, it'll be fun. We'll do it. And, Gio, if you're on the sidelines, that will be the bet.
Yeah, I really would be. And I do actually have 2 full years of football. It's college football, but it was ACC. It was University of Pittsburgh. Sideline experience on the radio, working with a legend in Bill Hillgrove who called Steelers games for about 30 years. So I wouldn't go out. I'd take this thing seriously. I would do the job.
Oh, 100%. Right. We're all going to take it seriously. I'm just letting you know right now, I need my space in that booth.
Well, Boomer, trust me, nobody really wants to sit close to you, okay?
Okay.
Okay, we understand why.
As long as we understand each other.
We understand each other, and don't be talking about, oh, Phil's going to be, you know, all Giants, Giants, Giants. No, I'm not. I did the Giants-Cowboy game, and I didn't get one complaint about me favoring the Giants.
Maybe nobody listened.
Oh, finally, Boomer comes with a remark back. That's the first time ever.
Okay. All right, handsome. I'm glad you're in a good mood this morning once again.
And before we get into the football here.
Don't be damn shocked when I'm in a good mood.
Well, it doesn't happen very often.
It's that damn balance
of
nature.
In a good mood.
It makes them happy.
Makes them happy is right.
It doesn't hurt. Let me tell you. Listen, Gio, you could get on it. You know what I like?
I'm waiting. Last week you told me you were sending me some. I still don't have it. So that's maybe why I'm in a curmudgeonly mood.
All right. Well, tell Al to text me your address and I'll send you some.
Perfect. Absolutely, I will do that. Now
he loves him some onions.
So onions. If you listen to the show, you paid attention. Boomer calls me the king of scuttlebutt because information just comes to me around the radio station and what people are doing, and I don't know why. I don't even ask for the information, but the information comes to me, and it actually extended out of this building into MetLife Stadium, where I got scuttlebutt that you were taking pictures of yourself on the wall at the facility. So if there was a picture of you up at the facility playing quarterback at a game, you were taking pictures of that picture.
No, it's just not true. Whoever told you that's a big fat liar. Hold on. There were pictures of White, Tittle, Charlie Connolly, all these people. So I said, oh, let me take some of those, whatever. And I was going to put them out. I don't think I ever did. You know, it was a good thought, but I didn't follow through with it. And my daughter was at the game. And, of course, my daughter, Deirdre, she's a wonderful daughter. Love her to death. He went around the damn stadium and took pictures of everybody wearing my jersey. I was like, Pierce.
That's great, though. That's cool.
Oh, it was great. But did you watch any of the game? Because you got like 100 of these pictures. And, you know, but oh, well. But, no, I don't take pictures of myself.
Okay.
My God, boomer. Right.
Yeah, that sounds like something I would do. I'm sure. Exactly. 100%. Yeah,
absolutely.
Yes, 100% it would be. All right, so let's just get into this now. So
let's do it.
Your Giants have got to go out to Seattle. Got to play Geno Smith, who's thrown for more yards than any quarterback in the league. He's averaging almost 300 yards passing per game. DK Metcalf, three straight games over 100 yards receiving. I mean, like, this is going to be a real test for this Giant defense. And I'm just wondering if you think that they can somehow corral the explosiveness of the Seahawks.
That is the big, big question. You said it. I mean, you look at their Geno Smith. First off, he's a gunslinger. That's the way to say it. He is not afraid to throw it down the field, throw it into tight spots. He can stay in the pocket, boomer, and he can take hits. I tell you, Geno's played really well ever since he's been out there in Seattle. But I was thinking of this yesterday. DK Metcalf, Tyler Lockett, Jackson Smith and Jigma. Oh, and I got Kenneth Walker running the football. And Carbonate, the other running back, is, you know, really good too. So, man, Seattle, it'll be a tough task for the Giant defense. And I don't know what they're going to do about covering DK Metcalf, because he's like a Calvin Johnson. He's big. He can run you over. He can run by you. And just watching him play looks like he is really so into it now more than ever. And that'll be a tough task for the Giants.
And the one thing I will say about Seattle, they have seen, you know, the 3-1 and the first real team with a real quarterback and a real offense that they have played against were the Lions this past weekend, Monday night. And the Lions just torched them offensively. And as we know, Jared Goff was 18 of 18. Best game ever in terms of not missing a pass for a game over 15 attempts. And he was on point, and it looked like their defense really had a hell of a time staying with him. So the real question now on the other side of the ball is, can Seattle's defense be somewhat susceptible to passing down the field? And Malik Nabers leads the league in 35 catches. He's a Giant wide receiver. Wandale Robinson's fifth on that list. Can the Giants keep up offensively with the Seattle Seahawks?
Well, that's a lot there. I'll say that. You know, Seattle, when you throw against them, I would think this, you know, and I watch teams do it. You know, if you block it up, in other words, you keep extra guys to block and you can get it down the field, you can have some success. You know, the Giants on the offense, the run that I've seen the Giants love the most is an inside run. I'm not going to get technical here, but Detroit, and I know they have a really good offensive line, they wore, you know, the Seattle defense out with those type of runs. So that gives me some hope about the Giants' run game. And then, you know, Seattle, it is like they're one of those defenses, the hair's on fire, they run around everywhere. And so, you know, screens, you know, boot passes where the quarterback fakes and goes the other way, things like that really give them trouble. And I would expect the Giants to do all this against that. And then, of course, the other thing, Boomer, I don't know if you ever – played out. Of course you played in Seattle, probably in the Kingdome, right?
In the Kingdome, yeah, not outside, yeah.
Well, they're both ridiculously loud, and I had terrible success in the Kingdome. And, of course, now the Giants got to deal with crowd noise, too. But let me kind of – I'll go back to this with the Giants. Last week, you know, I was there doing the game, and when I watched the game again during the week, I went, Daniel Jones didn't play well. He played really well. He moved around, got time, made the throws, some power throws. Did he miss a couple of deep ones? Yeah. You know, I can see why he did it when I watched it. But overall, his accuracy, power throwing the ball, and buying time. That's what he did. He bought time to get guys open and made a lot of good throws. So I didn't look at that game and go, wow, Daniel Jones has got to play better. I see a lot of other problems, you know, that are probably with the team, and it's not always just the quarterback.
Postseason baseball is here, and it is the absolute best time of the year. I'm Rob Bradford of Baseballs and Boring, and we're going to have you covered every step of the way with instant reactions from players and coaches and managers and fans and reporters and everybody else who is immersed in this awesomeness and all the craziness that comes with October baseball. So follow Baseballs and Boring in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, Boomer and Geo with Phil Simms on the Fan and CBS Sports Network. It was a brutal game to watch on Sunday between the Jets and the Broncos. I know the weather was a factor, but just rough. Why was the Jets' passing game so poor on Sunday?
Well, I think the first thing is that the Denver defense is, I kind of warned everybody last week talking about it. They're fast, they're aggressive. Vance Joseph, the defensive coordinator, there's not a down that he doesn't like to blitz on. So that's the biggest thing. And they got a secondary that can cover. They were all over the Jets. I mean, the Jets had about 30 chances to win the game. That's for sure. But the Denver defense is very fast. The week before, they played Baker Mayfield, who was hot as could be, and they sacked him 7 times. And I think after you watched the game and you saw Denver's defense, that you understand why. And in big moments, they decided they were just going to charge the Jets' offense, sack Aaron Rodgers, make him hurry the throws. And once again, the coverage was really good, and all the false starts that you saw in the game. And somebody says, why do you think they had all those? Because those linemen were putting their hands on the ground going, what the hell's coming next? And you know, it rattled the offensive line, I think, all the pressure, the blitzes and things like that. And it, of course, Denver found a way to win the game. And just with an awful, awful offense display against the Jets.
Yeah, I'll tell you, pre-snap penalties killed the Jets, too, and the whole snap count fiasco and all this other stuff. And you and I both.
You know, Boomer, yeah. What's it going to be like out in Seattle this week?
Well, it's going to be tough for the Giants, but, you know, with the Jets playing against Minnesota in London, it's a different story. Yeah. But, you know, the story was Rob Saleh talking about the snap count right after the game and then changing the tune the next day. And we all know that's a part of Aaron's repertoire is his snap count. Don't be messing with that, especially when you're a defensive head coach. Don't tell me the quarterback who's 40 years old how the hell to do the snap count. I'll handle that. So you just worry about the defense. That's kind of the vibe I was getting from the Jets earlier in the week. You know, the other thing, too, we talked about this team early on. So I give Gio credit because he said that Sam Darnold was going to have a comeback year. You said you loved the signing of Sam Darnold just because of Kevin O'Connell and how Kevin O'Connell was going to open it up for Sam Darnold once J.J. McCarthy got hurt. Gio says Kevin O'Connell is a coddling type of a coach. Do you agree with Gio's assessment of Kevin as a head coach?
100%. He is that kind of guy. And, you know, he supports the quarterback. Listen, first and foremost, they got a great receiving core. They got speed in the backfield. They got a pass-blocking offensive line. And Sam Darnold is throwing it really well. Same thing I kind of said about Gio is the same. He's aggressive. They throw it down the field. They're fun to watch. And the other thing is, every time I watch them, I go, why are more teams copying kind of what they're doing when they play these games? But, you know, that's a different thing. But, yeah, Sam Darnold's doing great. Kevin O'Connell, that's a great way to say it. How do you say that? He's a
coddle guy.
Coddle, a quarterback. Yeah.
I mean, coddle people,
no matter what they do, he comes off the field and Kevin O'Connell's all over him. And, you know, it's always good. He's one of those guys. He's always positive. And Sam Darnold is really playing well. And the big thing about that for the Jets, you've got to deal with that offense. And then you've got to deal with the defense by Minnesota, Brian Flores. He does everything. You know, they give up a lot of plays. You know, the pass game, people are throwing the ball on them. But when it comes down to big moments, they're going to blitz you. And their blitzing is phenomenal. And that's how they're winning games with their defense and, of course, the offense. But that's something in a tough week going over to London and now dealing with that defense and all the blitzes they run. Boomer, they're running blitzes I've never seen. I'm serious. Ever. It's so clever. And I just think, when are they going to run out of ideas on that side? But
wow, you know, I'll tell you, you're 30 years older than Aaron Rodgers, so maybe he's going to see something he's never seen before either.
Well, yeah. I think there is true. But, you know, Aaron Rodgers, you're right. You guys talk about, everybody does. This is his offense, and so much about it. The snap counts. Hey. Look, I go to the training camp and their practice. He's always working the snap count. Everybody's used to it. So I would think last week was a little bit of an outlier. And, the receivers, you got to get on. You got to have you got to figure out what's in Aaron Rodgers' head. Back shoulders, throwing it front, whatever. And they still don't have a great feel for that with all the practice. And I know they work on it. And Aaron Rodgers, his biggest thing, he wants to throw it down the sideline, lead you down if you're beating your guy. But he loves throwing back shoulder throws. And, you know, I expected so far this year to see more of them that are completed and not, and it's incomplete. The receiver looks at Aaron Rodgers and Aaron Rodgers is looking at them. So, you know, they got to keep working on it because it's a big part of their offense.
Yeah, they're not on the same page. When do you think Devontae Adams is going to be in Florham Park? That'll be next week.
Well, you know, after watching the receiver, whatever they call that, Peyton Manning Productions, last year, and seeing Devontae Adams part of it, I went, oh, my gosh, he's going to be somewhere else next year. So it's just a matter of time, it looks like, I would think. I heard you talking about it. I think you're right. I think everybody saw this coming. And I honestly, I was kind of surprised it didn't happen maybe in training camp or before it went this far. But, you know, so we'll see.
Yeah, not everybody saw it coming. Just one of us saw it coming. The other thing too, I want to ask you about is about Garrett Wilson. And you know, he made a comment yesterday. It was, I don't know how you take it. I kind of take it as, I watch football on Sundays. A lot of teams doing a lot of different things. We don't do a lot of those things. We do things, but we don't do a lot of things.
Well, he's right. That comment is true. I don't know if I'd go out and say that to the press. And when you're saying that, it's basically like, I need more things to do, and you got to get me the football more. That's what I see in that comment. When you say that, you know, you're just bringing up, you know, some more trouble with your football team. And so, yeah, they of course, they got to get on the same page, and they all want more catches. And I know the receivers, you're sitting there in the meetings and you see other teams throwing the ball down the field, everybody making these big catches where they're wide open. Oh my gosh. You see, when you watch these top offenses, they get guys wide open deep down the field. The Jets have really not done that. And the last thing I'd say about the Jets, just before I forget, they got this guy in the backfield, Braylon Allen. Give him the ball more. Man, just, you know.
Yeah, but Breece Hall is supposed to be like the second coming of Le'Veon Bell. I mean, Breece Hall was supposedly this, you know, all pro best young running back in the league and had a terrible game last week. I mean, I don't know what he was doing last week, but it was an awful game. And very rarely is it so obvious how awful the game was. I wanted to ask you about one play. One play in last week's game was 4th and 10, and Aaron gets caught on a corner blitz with nobody blocking him.
From the left.
Yeah, from the left. And look, they had 7 guys up at the line of scrimmage. Breece Hall looked like he was going into one of the A-gaps. One of the guys dropped out, and I don't know if he was responsible for the corner coming off the back, but Aaron looked like he thought he was going to be blocked. And I'm wondering whether or not that was just a problem with the offensive scheme, or was it Aaron caught off guard, or was it Breece Hall doing the wrong thing?
It was hard to tell. I would say, if I had to guess, it was just a problem with the scheme. That would be my first thought. When I saw it, I go, okay, I try to figure it out who's got who, but it was, everybody was going right. So I just think it was a problem with the scheme. But think of it this way. The Jets had problems with the Denver Broncos and the blitz. So what do you think this game is going to be about this week with Minnesota? So you know how that is, and Gio, when you play a blitzing team, it makes you fear because you can get embarrassed by not blocking people, not seeing it, not doing the right things. The receiver changes route, all that. So, man, it's going to be a rough and tough game for sure for the Jets, and their offense has just got to play better.
Is Rob Saleh a good head coach?
Is he a good head coach? Well, you know, the old saying is, you are what your record says you are. So You know, look.
So then the answer is no.
What's that?
Then the answer is no.
Well, you know, look, I'm not the good guy to ask that to because I played for, you know, guys that were loud, rough, and, you know, always, and, you know, Robert Saleh is the opposite, man. I'd hate to play poker against him because he doesn't even change his facial expressions during the game. He just stands there and walks around and whatever. So, you know, many things about being a head coach. You can only be who you are. You can't create a personality that fits maybe what people think you should be. So he's doing it his way, and his way is not, it's not working great right now. So it's okay to go in and challenge the football team and call people out. My gosh. And you know, you can't be, once you do that and do it enough, the team gets used to it and they can take it, you know? So if you do it every once in a while, I don't know. To me, that doesn't work. You got to be consistent in the way you treat the players and team. And we'll see where it goes with Robert Saleh.
Phil, great talking to you as always. We will talk to you next week and very, very excited for the Jerry Recco, Boomer Esiason, Phil Simms booth. It might be once in a lifetime, but once in a lifetime is probably too much. So excited for that. We will. We'll see you next time.
One of us could get thrown out of the booth.
Well, wait. So, Gio, you know, listen. The coming here and watching games. I was going to fix it where we could have done that, but then I got this opportunity, and of course, then Boomer butted in and did it too. So he's going to be there. So we'll live with that.
Well, by the way, I did not butt in. I got asked yesterday morning by Jerry Recco if I would do it. And I said, yeah, I think I could do it because that was the day we were supposed to go to Phil Simms' house. And then Rosner sends us an email and says, you're busy with the Giants. He never said to me anything about you doing any calling of games.
So well, I didn't realize I stuck to the, you know, doing something to the Giants, but I could have got out of it. So I was going to do that.
Well, how am I supposed to know that? I didn't know that.
Well, hell, I didn't know it either until just a couple days ago, so.
Well, that's what I'm saying, so don't sit here and tell me that I butt in, because I didn't butt in.
Well, Boomer, come on, they all know how you are, so yeah, we know you.
All right.
Yeah.
Any other questions? Because Boomer just takes the whole segment. He never lets you talk.
No, it's fine. Like I told you, you just spill something over there. You're right.
No.
Yeah. I told you. What happens is I let him have this moment, and then 9 o'clock he puts his feet up, and then I take us to 10. All right. We'll see you next week. All right.
Have me on. All right. Don't forget. Do it for Phil.
Phil. Promo code Phil. Sim Spotlight brought to you by Balance of Nature Whole Food Supplements. Visit balanceofnature.com.
Postseason baseball is here, and it is the absolute best time of the year. I'm Rob Bradford of Baseballs and Boring, and we're going to have you covered every step of the way with instant reactions from players and coaches and managers and fans and reporters and everybody else who is immersed in this awesomeness and all the craziness that comes with October baseball. So follow Baseballs and Boring in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.